You're listening to The Craig Carlisle Show.
104.5 WPJC.
Parker J. Cole Entertainment.
What up, Ms. Parker?
We're impromptu today. I've got Bill and Pam Farrell sitting with me, and I'm thankful for you guys to be here.
We're glad to be here. This is exciting.
Yeah, and you guys got a great book. So I met you guys, what was it, about a month ago now.
Right.
At Center Point Church.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
At the singles conference.
Chasing What Matters.
Yes.
That was a great theme.
And it was a great, you guys had a great workshop as well.
Men, single men are like waffles, single women are like spaghetti. So it's the singles version of our bestseller is what we spoke on that day. Yeah.
Well, I tell you what, I bought the, that's what I was sharing earlier, I bought the book, I bought the audio book, I bought the devotional. I have all the regular for the couples.
We love you.
I had to have it. Because since that time, some other friends of mine that were in the same workshop, we've been talking about you
the
all.
The differences.
Well, not even really differences. We're just talking about ourselves.
Oh, right.
And from a guy's perspective, oh, yeah, I'm in this waffle box today, and I'm in this. And I happen to be talking to some of the other ladies who attended. They're like, oh, that makes sense. You're in that box. You're in that box.
Right,
and then they'll
right.
share, well, my spaghetti thought for today was blah, blah, blah. So we would laugh. So it's always been a great topic.
We do learn about each other. You're right. We learn about ourselves and each other both.
Yes. How did you guys come up with that?
So Pam and I had been working with couples in our church. And we recognize that this male-female thing is an issue in most relationships.
Yeah. Like, it was biblical, you know, that God made us male and female. And also, we had some great research that's DNA, you know, estrogen, testosterone, biological.
But people don't speak research.
Yeah.
So we were praying, God, would you show us a way to make this easier to for people to process? And would you show us a male-friendly way to discuss this? Because getting women involved in discussions about relationships isn't difficult.
Yeah.
Getting men involved in discussions, there's a lot of things they'd rather do.
Yeah.
So we've been praying through all this, and I was helping out with the youth basketball league in our hometown. And word got out that a pastor was helping out with the league. So a guy in the league came to me one day, and he said, you're a pastor, right? I said, well, yeah. He said, can I bring my wife in to come see you? I think she's broken. Now, I was intrigued. Like, what is, one, it's a guy who's starting it. Second, what does he mean by she's broken? So I made the appointment. They came in. And we know that studies show women have more words to work with every day than us men do.
Yeah.
This woman, however, she was like top of the charts. So they came to my office, and he looked at her, and he said, go ahead. And that's all it took to get her to start talking.
So she started talking from subject to subject to subject to subject. And she talked for like 55 straight minutes.
And while she's talking, he looked at me and said, Bill, she does this all the time. I think something's wrong with her. Like, I think something's broken in her.
Like, deer in the headlights kind
of
look.
And it was one of those moments where all of that stuff came together all at once. And in a moment, it hit me. You know, guys like food.
Yeah.
So I said to him, well, just think about her conversation like a plate of spaghetti. That every thought she has is like a noodle on the plate.
Wow.
But all the noodles are connected to one another, so she can change subjects seamlessly. Because she's jumping from one noodle to another. And she just needs to cover all the subjects. And he went, okay. So he leaned in and just listened to her.
Probably for the first time with that interrupting.
Yeah.
And she, you know, sat back after 55 minutes and was like, oh, that was great. Okay, if I'm like spaghetti, what's my husband like?
And I said to this couple, well, we're out of time for this week. But we'll meet again in a couple of weeks and I'll explain it to you.
Wow.
So I dismissed him. I said, okay, God, I have 2 weeks. I need a food illustration that demonstrates how men process information, and it's got to come on time. And my boys were making toaster waffles one day, and I thought, I think that might work.
Yeah. Compartments.
So I went back to this couple, and I explained to them that us guys, we process information like the top of a waffle. There's a bunch of boxes. All the boxes are separated from one another, and we put one issue in each box, and we deal with life one issue at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to the guy, it's your turn to talk this week. Do you have something you want to talk about? He's like, yeah, there is. And I said to her, you cannot change subjects. Whatever subject he brings up, you need to stay on that subject for the entire time. Knowing that she probably really couldn't do it on her own, but, you know, I'm setting the scene. Well,
sure. He
started sharing. She immediately started changing subject.
Which is very normal for a woman to do. You know, a guy brings up a subject to talk about. He has to think it's that subject that you're going to talk about. But because they're problem solvers by nature.
Yeah.
But we women, we, you know, see the five or six other boxes that are surrounding that first box, and we just start opening up topics or opening up issues. So it's normal that she did it. It's
right.
just
But
not,
I wouldn't let her go there.
Yeah.
So
like the
seven times
police.
I corrected her and said, no, you can't go there. You can write that out if you want, but we can't go there now. and they stayed on the subject he wanted to talk about.
Which saved their marriage hugely.
Well, they solved the issue in my office. He'd been trying for a couple of years to bring this up, making no progress. Well, they solved it in my office. Wow. So I went home and I said, Pam, I think I got something here.
Yeah, and I was standing in the garage. I remember I had a broom in my hand, and he's like, I think we should share it at this conference coming up. And my response was, well, it's kind of clever, but it's also kind of corny. But I trust you, and I trust God. So if, you know, God led you to this, sure, then, yeah, let's do it.
And so we brought it up at the conference, and we intentionally brought it up at a small conference, because mm-hmm. if it was too corny, we would just let it go.
Right.
But it was the hit of the night.
It was hot, yeah. Hot bit.
Well, it couldn't be corny anyway, because it was spaghetti. And
exactly. It's great food.
Great food. That's awesome.
It was. And there was the weekend program director of the largest talk station was in the audience with his little newlywed wife. And he's like, this is great. You guys need to be on radio. Have you ever thought about radio? We're like, well, it's kind of expensive, so we haven't really thought about it. It's not really on the goal sheet. He's like, you need to come meet my program director. And so he set up this meeting. And so we went in and we prayed on the way down there. Lord, we know that you're the only hope and help, sure, in a world that pulls couples apart. Sure. You're the super glue.
Yeah.
So let us know we can be ourselves,
yeah,
and share the hope that's found mm-hmm. in you, the help that's found in you, or let something be said so that we know we can be ourselves mm-hmm. and share biblical reality, you know?
Sure.
And so the program... like the station manager walked in and he shook Bill's hand and he's like, well, Bill, nice to meet you. I would assume that because you're a pastor that you would share the spiritual dynamics and how God and the Bible might positively impact a relationship. We're like, bing!
We're in it.
We're all in.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, how long ago was this?
So that was before the book ever came to be, because, you know, this is when it's in its infancy state. I think we were like 30.
It was 1998 that experience happened. The book got published first in 2000 in its first version.
Yeah, okay. So
yeah.
It was almost 30 years ago, probably. 28, something like that.
Because for me, it's such a new topic.
Right.
And I had never heard it before. And I wish I had been around while my wife and I were married. Because
sure.
It's such a needed tool.
Oh, thank
well,
you.
And what we've discovered is it puts in language what people already think but don't know how to say.
Right. Yeah. They experience it every day, the differences. Yeah.
And because it's at ground level.
Sure.
People grab on and go, oh, I get that.
Yeah.
And the picture makes sense to people.
Oh yeah.
So then they run with it.
Oh yeah.
So we're kind of amazed at how many couples have picked it up and just run with it and it lives for them and
well, it's going to live forever. At least it's for me.
We hope
life.
So.
It's so helpful because I'm going to start, you know, talking to my kids about it. Because there's a section in the book where it talks about...
Right, because there's teen version of the book.
I did not know that.
Yeah, there's a singles version, a teenage version, small groups with a DVD version.
Yep.
And it's in 15 plus languages. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, then we need to... Do you need any champions for the teen versions? I'd love to be a champion for you.
Oh, yeah. I'll send you a copy for sure.
Please, because having boys, two are teens and one is 23 and the younger two are 10 and 12... I need them to start learning tools.
That's like
now.
The perfect age for this book.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yep.
I think I have one in the car.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Because they'll start just randomly popping up with things to say. And I'm like, that's random. Yep. It has nothing to do with anything we're talking about at this moment or 15 moments ago. Oh, where did that come from? Oh, I just wanted to say it. Yeah. Okay, that's in the book. Yeah. That was in that one waffle box. That has something
so
to say.
Funny.
So our oldest son, when he was in high school.
Yeah.
He got asked a question in one of his classes.
It was an English class.
Yeah.
And I was taking the kids to student venture, you know, at Campus Crusades High School ministry. And so I had a van full of girls, and Brock and the guys were in the van. Brock was driving. And so the girls were like, hey, you know, Mrs. Farrell, what's that pasta princess book? What's that, like, you know, waffle man thing? And I'm like, you mean men are like waffles and like spaghetti? And I'm like, yeah, that's what we use this for. I'm like, well, how do you know about that? You know, because that's kind of a marriage thing at that time. She's like, oh, Brock in English class today was, you know, our English teacher was talking about the differences between men and women. And Brock's like, men are like waffles or like spaghetti. And he, like, for 30 minutes did a little seminar.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you take orders for the books and everything?
Yeah, which was like awesome. I mean, it was really that experience is what led us to like maybe we should write the teenage version. Yeah.
Because it's simple enough that teenagers can get it.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But it's profound enough that married couples can live it out.
And it helped them not be mad at each other. The teenagers, you know, the girls were like, "Oh, that's just what all guys do," you know, or "Oh, that's like girls. All girls talk a lot, you know. That's normal," and they kind of talk in circles, it feels like, to the guys. And yeah, so it helped them be kinder to each other.
Yeah. And two of our goals in writing the book and presenting the material in all kinds of settings is, first of all, we want to give people a sense that, you know, just because we're different doesn't mean we're wrong.
Yeah.
Because men are always trying to fix women, and women are always trying to fix men in areas that don't need to be fixed.
Right, it was God designed, and He used those differences for you and for all your relationships. Mm-hmm. So the difference is, one's not better than the other, we're just different.
Yeah. And the other thing we want to do is give people a sense of humor about it.
Oh, totally.
The way you presented it was such a way that was so disarming. Just figuring in a singles conference, you're already thinking about the people looking across each other, across the aisle anyway, wondering, whose number do I want to get versus, why is he or she looking at me? Why can you make them stop? I'm here to learn. You know, leave me alone. So when you get people laughing and it became fun, and then you had homework. We found ourselves exercising homework on each other, on ourselves
easily. Yeah.
Oh, it's awesome.
And that's the key, because we do communicate different. We like to say, you know, we women, if you look at the way our minds work, it looks like one noodle laying on a plate of spaghetti. If you follow that noodle around, it looks like it touches pretty much every other noodle on the plate. And that's the way we women process life, traveling through life, making emotional connections to the people and things that matter most to us. And so by nature, we're really awesome at multitasking, or sometimes called toggle tasking today, jumping from thing to thing to thing. And so we can be on the phone with our friend, and we're listening to your podcast, and we're like, oh, our friend needs to know about Craig Carlisle. He's like so wise. At the same time, you know, that we're talking to our kids in sign language to quit fighting. Can't you see I'm on the phone? We have a load in the washer, a load in the dryer. We're cooking dinner, and we can open and shut the oven door with our foot. Amazing. Multitasking, right?
I lose my mind.
Yeah.
But that's not how guys' minds work.
No,
we do one thing at a time.
Yeah.
And now as we mature, we do jump boxes faster than we used to.
Yeah.
So we can add more to our plate than we used to.
Some of those boxes are deeper.
Yes, they are. That's very true.
I have a hard time climbing out of some of those boxes.
Yes, because
it's a good box.
Technology is a very deep box for most men. Technology.
Well, my house must be a chasm, because each kid has their own little game system or whatever, and they're just like not paying attention to me. I'm like, dude, you keep me calling you on. What, Dad?
No, but...
That's awesome.
And they really were
picturing...
not being rude.
No,
they were just focused.
They were so focused.
Yeah.
So you could picturing imagine these deep Belgian waffles, and you know there's six of them at your house.
Yeah. And there's syrup in various degrees, and some cover plug in the ears. They can't even hear me if I'm in the box with them. I know, it's just hilarious at my house. So ever since that class, I'll just take examples from the class. I go, yep, you're here, and you're in that box, you're in that box, and you're in that. And it helps me not get so angry.
Right, not offended.
With them. Yeah.
Like, okay, they're just normal boys. I'm not offended.
Yeah.
We do have to work on this, guys, so when I go, hey, eye to eye contact.
Yeah. Put your phone down at the dinner table. Even if we're out to dinner or at our own dinner table, put them down.
Yeah. Yes.
Listen, interact with each other.
Yeah.
You know, open up. My 14-year-old's got it back. Hilton, the one that's outside, you just met him.
Mm-hmm.
He'll go in his bedroom.
Amazing. He's a great kid.
Oh, I appreciate it. He'll close his door, and he's going to stay introverted in that room, in that deep box, it's called, bedroom.
Yeah.
And it's the first time in a while he's ever had a first time ever, he's actually had a bedroom that was his own room.
Oh.
But he could design it any way he wanted. Mm-hmm. He could have anything he wanted in it, or anyone
that's
he didn't
cool.
want in it.
Okay.
And we've just come out of a series of having to live in a space where we didn't like where we lived, and we were sharing a lot of real close, tight quarters.
Yeah.
And now this is his space. He comes out to go to the bathroom, go to school, eat. And when I make him change clothes and shower, other than that,
he's enjoying that box called his room.
I don't even know what to do with that.
I'm so healthy, really, because he's discovering who he is at 14.
Sure.
You know, that's what we saw with our 14-year-old boys, are just like really stepping into who they are.
Sure.
And so I'm sure that's a part of what's going on there, is God's meeting him there and helping develop him. You have such a healthy home, and you're such a great dad that I'm sure he's taking your wisdom and then processing through
it. So let me tell you the two things we do with our boys, because we raised all boys.
Oh, yeah. Now how many do you have?
We have three sons.
Oh, like, so you're like more of a hero because you have more boys.
they're all married now, so our family's way better looking than it used to be.
Wow.
And wow. We've got four grandkids. Three of them are girls. So now we're doing the girl thing.
Oh, yeah. How do you like that?
We have one more boy coming, so we're starting to even out the grandkid odds.
But let me tell you two things we did with our boys that were just highly effective. Please. The first one was something Pam did. That starting when they were young, she would have them, like, she would play ball with them.
So the problem is, usually when you ask a boy, so what did you learn at school today?
You get
the shrug of the shoulders, you get the, like, whatever kind of attitude or nothing, when you know they learned something, right?
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, we're just not going to do that at the Farrell house. I want some answers. And so I played this game with them where I take them to the park, and this is when they're pretty little, like toddlers, through probably grade 2 or 3, you know. By then they had the skill down, but I would ask them a question, I would kick the soccer ball to them.
Okay.
But before they could kick the soccer ball back, they had to answer my question, come up with a question of their own to ask me, and then they could kick the soccer ball. And so it taught them the art of conversation. And so now they're all really great conversationalists. Even my super shy youngest, Bill and I, our youngest one is very shy.
Wow.
But he is a great conversationalist now. So you would not know that in first grade that he held up his school project and threw up because he had to talk out loud. I mean,
wow.
He's overcome quite a bit. Yeah.
You would never know because you guys are great conversation. Very smooth, very easy.
Thank you.
You know, watching you two on stage just interact is like, oh, when I marry again, I want that.
Yeah.
It's a learned skill.
Really?
Because like Pam's always been a very social individual.
Yeah, cheerleader, homecoming queen. You know, that cut out of that cloth.
Got it. I'm
introverted by nature, and I grew up in an isolated home.
And he was a math major. I mean, like...
Yeah.
Okay.
Because my mom was afraid of most things in life.
Wow.
And one of the things she's afraid of is groups of people. So she systematically isolated us over time.
Wow.
And the two big changes in my life is I met Jesus at 16. And I met Jesus because I went to see the movie The Exorcist, which scared me into reading the Bible.
With the part where the girl's head turned all around?
Yeah.
It was earlier than that, but that was pretty effective,
too.
I got you. And the thing that got me was not so much the movie, but the thought that it was based on something true. And I knew Hollywood had overdone a bunch of stuff. Sure.
But the evil one was real.
Yeah.
There was evil in the world.
Yeah, and when I left the movie, I had no answers. Like, if anything like that could happen to a person...
Sure.
I don't know what would keep it from happening to me. And I just left with no answers. And so the Bible seemed like a worthwhile place to turn because we had a Bible in the house that we'd never read.
Sure.
And so I started reading it. And 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, turned the light on for me.
Sure.
And so that was kind of a big wake-up moment in my life.
Sure.
And then when, as I started to grow, I realized I don't know much about life. I don't really know how to do the Christian thing, but... I also don't know how to make decisions because every decision in my home was made by my mom, who was afraid of something.
Mm.
And so I started asking people, like, how do you do this?
Sure.
And awkwardly at first, like, I dated a young lady in high school so I could spend time with her dad.
She was so perceptive. She's like, we can just be friends. You can come over and just hang out with my dad. You don't have to date me to do it.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful. Like, she became a friend of both Bill and I because she just was very mature for her age,
sure.
You know. So
how did you two meet?
At a leadership conference with Campus Crusade for Christ at Arrowhead Springs.
Wow.
So we're both in college. We're both 18, like almost 19. And
well, you weren't afraid of her then, were you?
You gotta tell that, like, he doesn't remember the first time he met me. I remember it, but he doesn't really remember
it.
Because I was with three friends.
Okay.
We were all from one campus. And Bill on... two other friends were all sitting together, and they had white, like, driver's caps on, so it was like they stood out in the crowd.
Okay.
Especially to my friend Phyllis and Grace, because they had just gotten back from Institute of Biblical Studies, which is like a 4-week, you know, Campus Crusade, like, Bible thing, Bible University, I guess, taught by people from Dallas, you know, really great professors.
Sure.
And that's back where Dennis Rainey started Family Life. I sat under Dennis Rainey that summer that I went. But they had just gotten back, and they had met some guys that wore a driver's cap like that. And so, like, I wonder if it's them. And so we all three walked over, and it was the first, it was Grace and Phyllis, and then I was the third person. And they said,
Do you know Jim Farrell? And I went, well, that's my brother.
And they went,
And then my friend looked at me and went, Phyllis? And my friend went to fifth grade with Phyllis.
Four.
So he went, Phyllis? And they went, yeah.
And so I'm like, you know, I don't really fit in this screaming girl thing. I'm just going to go sit down and let these two girls scream. So I just went and excused myself and sat down. The conference was ready to go. But the next day, God arranged for, like, the speaker to talk about your calling into ministry and are you called into full-time ministry, and sent us out on this quiet time that was, you know, we really had to weigh out, are you called into this vocationally?
Sure.
And so it was just like a time of silence, and as it wrapped up, I came back in the lobby and I sat on a sofa, and Bill walked in, he sat on the sofa opposite me, and he said, so what did God teach you today? And I'm like, man, he's good looking. And he's like, godly, what did God teach you today? Like, he got my attention. And one of the things I had prayed as a little girl, okay, you'll just think this is crazy, because I grew up in a house that's like, my dad was an alcoholic and like very abusive. And so oftentimes I would hide in my reading. And I used to take this one teen magazine. So picture a little girl about seventh grade with this magazine with the same ad over and over again. Mm-hmm. And this is the 1006 man. And he was from California, and he was a beach guy, and he had curly brown hair and a super dark tan and a big broad smile. And I started praying, God, I want a guy like that, but who loves you. I want him to look like that, but loves you. And so here in walks this tan guy with curly hair who says, what did God teach you? I'm like, whoa, huh, pay attention. Yeah. And so.
And for me, it was, there's another person at the conference sitting here. And we're supposed to have done, just had this quiet time, so these are the kind of questions we ask at our Bible study, so I'm just going to ask her.
And so it wasn't anything deep until, like, the next day. All of us decided to hang out as two groups together, my group of girlfriends there and those guys. And we went to the pool, and I was on the diving team, so basically I decided to show off. And so I was doing all my, like, flips and dives and things.
To get his attention or just to show off?
Oh, you bet.
Just make sure I'm following the spaghetti string. I'm
Nothing spiritual or deep about my motives at all. Yeah. And so I was doing all that, and Bill was in the pool, and, like, he came up out of the pool to talk to me. He shook his head, and I'm like, that is totally that 1006 boy right there. But he just kept pursuing me to talk about God. So we started writing after one conference. We started... then we went to a Christmas conference, and at the Christmas conference...
we didn't start writing until after the next conference.
Right, in October. Right,
so we went to that conference, and then a couple months later, we went to a second conference.
And then started writing, phoning, you know, several times a week. And then the Christmas conference came around, and Bill came to be the first night. So very... I appreciated Bill because it was very direct. You know, I didn't have to play games. Sure. There was no, like... junior high, does he like you? Does he? I don't like games. So
and the reason why I was direct is I didn't know how to do it.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not going to mess any of this up. Like, these are God's people here.
Wow.
And I'm just going to be direct. And if she says no to anything, that's great.
Yeah, I'll just go do ministry. She'll go do ministry. We're all good.
And my brother and I had decided that at the Friday night of the conference, we were going to have a group date. So a bunch of us guys, we would invite a girl out, we'd all go as a group, and we would just, like, have this time of encouragement with each other.
But the girls knew that they were coming to spend time with that one guy, or was this the...
Yeah, they were pretty, it was pretty upfront. That's kind of how he invited me, like, hey, a bunch of us are going to go out, would you like to go with me? You know, it'll be a meal. And I'm like, that sounds great.
Good. So, make sure it wasn't any crossover or kind of like, share and figure out.
Yeah, no.
No, none of that.
I definitely knew I was being asked by Bill.
Got it.
But it was also a very casual kind of thing.
Okay, very safe.
Because we were all broke, so it was like Denny's, you know?
Well, after I asked her if she would go on the group date, like, the next day, I couldn't concentrate. So I'm sitting in these seminars, and I'm learning nothing.
Wow.
And my attitude was kind of like, God, I just had this conversation with you. Like, let's keep women out of my life. We're doing ministry. It's going great. I don't want any distractions. And now I've asked her if she'll go on this casual date, and I can't think now. I'm like...
He paid a lot of money for this conference, and it was kind of like Charlie Brown and that teacher. Wah, wah, wah. He's like, this is a lot of money to be, like, not giving anything.
Yeah, and I never had a Christian girlfriend. because since I'd come to Christ, I hadn't dated anybody. So I'm like, okay, well. So I asked her if we could get together at the end of the day.
Can I meet you in the lobby?
Yeah. Okay. And I just said to her, like, I think I like you. I'd like to spend some time getting to know you. Are you okay with that?
Pursue a relationship is what he said. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, he's good looking. He's godly. He doesn't play games. If he would have got down on his knee right then and said, will you marry me? I would have been like, yes, totally. I have not met an awesome guy like you. Yeah.
And so Friday came along, and of course, everybody bailed.
It was just us.
It was just us.
It's a casual date.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
And we lived 2 hours apart from each other, so we started our relationship there, where I would go to her hometown, stay with some friends, see her over the weekend, then she would come to where I was going to college. She had some friends there, she'd stay with them. But before we could start the weekend, I had bought a notebook.
It's like a spiral bound.
And in the notebook, I wrote questions about relationships. Because I didn't have any answers. I only had questions on how to do this.
So before we could go bowling or to the beach or, like, do anything, we had to answer the questions in Bill's relationship notebook.
Wow.
And I, like, women were like, what? I'm like, no, I really appreciate it because he, like, doesn't want to mess up. He, like, values me enough that he does not want to mess this thing up. I love it.
Now, do you still have the book?
Well, it kind of turned into... The Before You Married Book of Questions. Yeah, so a lot of those are the same questions that Bill asked me and then our boys use in their relationships. We do have, it's buried. I did find it when we downsized recently. We, like, downsized 3,000 square foot, and I found early love letters and I found that notebook. But because he was so directive and... ask such great questions, it's not very many pages. I mean, we were able to make decisions pretty quick.
Sure.
So bottom line, we dated for 6 months. She was going to a Institute of Biblical Studies, like a 2-month Bible school.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. And so we decided to take that time and commit it to prayer, not communicate back and forth, just commit to prayer.
So there's no social media at this point. No letter writing, no phone calls.
Because you said writing, so those who are listening out there, that's not email writing.
No, it's not
text messaging.
No,
this is actually
long band,
fold it up, put an envelope,
with a smiley face on it, with some lipstick
some XO, and some postage, and you mail, and then you wait.
Yeah, and you waited.
Mm-hmm. And after the 2 months, we were either going to let each other go.
After 2 months?
Well we dated for 6 months.
Push pause.
She was going to this Bible college for 2 months.
Yeah.
When she got back, we were either going to say, God doesn't want us together, we're going to let each other go so we don't complicate each other's lives, or we were going to figure out what it means that God wants us together.
Right, we're going to move our relationship forward.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit like that movie, I think it's called An Affair to Remember. It's like a 50s movie where we're going to meet you at the top of the Empire State Building on a certain day at a certain time. And that's kind of what we had done. I'll meet you at a certain place at a certain time, and then you tell me what God told you, and I'll tell you what God told me. Yeah.
And so, long story short, God told us to get married.
Yeah.
Okay, because I was going to ask you, what did you hear God
tell
you?
Because I said goodbye to her for the summer. I got in my car. It was a 2.5-hour drive to my parents' house where I was going to be living and working for the
longest drive of your life.
No, it was an argument.
Yeah.
I got in the car and I had this pit in my stomach. I said, God, look, I am too young. I'm 20 years old. I do not have a job. I have 2 pairs of pants. One of them has a hole in the knee. I drive a green Vega with a blue back door. Like, I cannot be getting married. And the more I would pray that way, I just had a knot in my stomach, my shoulders would get all tense, and I would finally go, okay, God, fine, I will marry Pam. And his peace would literally roll over my entire body. But I couldn't handle it, so I said, God, come on. Like, I'm 20 years old. Did I tell you I have 2 pairs of pants? One of them has a hole in the knee. Like, I am not ready to get married. And all the stress would come right back. And I went back and forth like that for 2 hours. And after 2 hours, I finally said, God, look, I don't get this. Like, getting married at this stage of my life in the economic situation I'm in,
sure.
I think I'm signing off to not be in ministry.
Or I'm like, I don't know if I can finish college.
Because I know how this works. You fall in love, you get married, you have a baby, you commit to a career that you may not like, but you have to because you got a family.
Yeah.
And you don't get to your dream.
Ooh.
I'm like, I think that's what's going to happen here, but you won't let it go. Sure. So I'm going to marry her. And I settled it 2 hours into the 2 months.
And then he had to wait.
Wait till she gets back.
Yeah, until I got
to keep my word that I would give her 2 months.
Wow.
So I said, you know, God, if she decides early and she lets me know, I'll pursue this, but other than that, I'm going to wait because I gave my word that I would wait. And so I did. I waited till she got back. And when we got back, she had...
Right, God used a psalm. Basically, I was there. It was a perfect place for me to be because there were so many godly, good-looking guys there because they were all in leadership.
Sure.
And so what God had to do with me, because I always, like I had taken a year sabbatical before I started dating Bill. I took a year off from dating because I was like addicted to men.
And she said so, sabbatical. I'm thinking like ministry, worship, leadership. She said sabbatical for me.
I had taken a year off dating, you know, before I had met Bill, before I had gone to that first conference. And God did that so I could recognize a healthy male.
Sure.
And so he took me to the word, like, this is what Jesus looks like, this is what the disciples look like, this is what, you know, Boaz looks like, this is what Daniel looks like. So he took me to, like, some really good godly guys. And so I could recognize healthy, because reason for my dad, he was very unhealthy. I was set up to repeat a really bad pattern. And so that was strategic that I did that.
Wow.
And so I recognized Bill at that conference because he was matching everything in the Bible that I had just been reading.
And the 1006 guy, too. He looked just like
him. Yes, and the 1006 guy, yeah. So it met both sides, the spiritual side and then this physical chemistry side. And it was really a psalm that I read 2 days before I drove back to California that led me, you know, God, that God would give me the desires of my heart.
Wow.
And I had written down the list, so I looked through the list, and I'm like, he is the desires of my heart. And my mom, she was like, you need to marry this guy. Let's go look for wedding dresses. I mean, she was very much, and she had not met him, only talked to him on the phone. But she was convinced this he was God's best for me, too. And so that helped. And so we got together on that day, and
long story short, we were married a year after our first date.
Really?
And
you have to hear the proposal, though. It was, like, so sweet. He wrote a song, and he got down on one knee, and...
Did you sing it?
I did.
He did sing
you?
It.
And I'm not a singer.
He's only sang it to me 3 times in my life. Yeah, and so he got down on one knee, and he said, we had decided not to kiss until we got engaged. And
wait.
Yeah. So not only was there the notebook with questions, we decided we need to take the high road.
Yeah.
That's not a high road. That's a mountain peak for Everest.
It is.
And what's the highest peak in the world? Did you hold hands at all?
Yeah, hold hands, hugs, you know, so everything but kissing.
Cold showers.
Yeah, cold showers, probably plenty of those.
Yeah.
I was
wired really, really hot, and I had wrecked relationships before because I did not manage that part of my life very well.
Sure.
So.
Hey, and people that we respected in the campus ministry that we were a part of, like people who are in leadership, were recommending that.
Yeah, of course.
And the happy
couple. It's the right thing to do, yeah.
And somehow it made sense to us that if we get married, we get to kiss for the rest of our life.
Yeah, yeah.
And if we don't get married, we are kissing somebody else's spouse.
Ooh.
It just made sense to us, and so we decided
the night that we decided, though, was kind of a little bit funny. So, back up the train to, this is like spring after that Christmas conference, and God is just speaking to my heart that you need to be ready, that in the next round of relationship questions, that the notebook is probably going to come up, you know? And the woman who was mentoring me, she's like, okay, so have you guys talked about boundaries and how far you'll go in a relationship? I'm like, you're supposed to talk about that? She's like, yes. And so she sent me to some verses, and I was studying those and about being sexually pure and things like that. And so Bill took me out. It was wonderful. It was like fondue and, candlelight and music.
On a college budget? How'd you do fondue, bro?
They had a place in the college town we were in.
It's like 2-for-1, I think it was.
Like, it wasn't a fancy restaurant. They just had fondue, so,
And there was, like, sparkling lights on the tree.
Blah, blah, blah.
But it was chilly, It was still, like, March or something.
Yeah.
And so it was a little chilly. So we're walking around the town, and I was a little cold. And so I said, maybe you should take me back to, my girlfriend's house. And he's like, yeah, sure, I understand. But I'd like to stop at my condo for a minute. if someone wants to show you. And I'm like, here it comes. Sure enough, we walk into like the landing area, and Bill says, I really want to kiss you. And,
yeah, can I kiss you?
Yeah, can I
kiss
you?
She said,
I really, really want to say yes, because you're incredibly gorgeous. You're amazingly godly. But, like, I pretty much wrecked every relationship I've ever had because I, like, didn't manage this very well. And I'm, like, reading these the Bible verses, you know, it says that we're supposed to abstain from sexuality. We've already talked about that, so I know we're not going to do that. But there's, like, these other verses about blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I want you to see God, and I want me to see God. And I'm afraid that if I kiss you, I won't be able to see God anymore, or you won't. And it's, like, you know, I kind of, like, if I light the match, I might set the whole forest fire. And so, even though I really, really want to say yes, I think I'm going to say no, because I think that's what God wants me to do. So, no.
He just stood. And in typical guy fashion, I just stared at him.
He stared. He didn't see a word. Not a word. And then he drove me back, like, 20 minutes across town. Not a word.
He was still processing it. How many boxes were you in, or were that box really deep?
I'm like, why did I ask this question? I can't believe I asked this question. You know, I probably should have known the answer already. And she's going on and on and on. And then I'm thinking, I can't believe it's taking her so long to answer. Like, yes or no would be okay.
But he walked me up to the door, and he said, I'll pick you up for breakfast in the morning. I'm like, glimmer of hope. Yeah. And my girlfriends, I walked in the door, and I'm like, I might have just lost the very best man I've ever had in my life. And they're like, what did he do? And so I shared the story, and I'm like, ugh, Pam, if Bill's half the guy you've been telling us he is, you have to trust Bill. But more than that, we've all read the Bible. And thou shalt not kiss is not in the Bible. Mm-hmm. But God led you to this. Mm-hmm. So yeah. You have to trust the hand of God. You have to trust the heart of the Father that he's doing this because God loves you. And he has a wonderful plan for your life. And this is a part of that plan. He's calling you to something. I'm like, okay. So they all went to sleep. I stayed up all night praying. And the next day, over breakfast, Bill said to me,
I said to Pam, I know you were concerned that I was really quiet last night. But I just want you to know, I was embarrassed because I realized that I really should have set the standard where you did, because it's really where God wanted us to do this. And so I was embarrassed that I didn't set it, and I had to put you in that position. But I want you to know, because you stood your ground where you did, like, I think more of you today than I did even yesterday.
Wow.
And thank you for following God's lead on this.
So fast forward, and I say fast forward because when you don't kiss while you're dating, you make decisions really fast. So 4 or 5 months later is when Bill wrote that song, got down on one knee, and he said,
will you marry me, Pam, and will you kiss me for the first time?
And I said, yes, yes. And I guess it must be working. You know, here we are, 39 years. We wrote a book called Red Hot Monogamy. So, God's plan worked for us.
And, like, looking into this decision, like, it looked to me like I was giving up my dream to get married to Pam.
When you were really getting your dream.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I look back, and I can see God wanted us to get married early because he wanted to rebuild us together.
Remake us. Redeem
because
us.
Because of the homes we grew up in, we just didn't have a lot to draw on to figure out from instinct how to do relationships. So he wanted to rebuild us together for the ministry he had called us to. So looking back, it's easy to see, because not only did we both finish college, but I finished a master's degree.
I put him through master's degree at Talbot Seminary.
And we've had a full adult life of ministry. So the dream came true.
Yeah.
We just couldn't see it going into it.
It's funny. That's a confirmation of just today's study I was actually doing today when I was writing my devotional was Jeremiah 31.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where it then talks about what God says, I will restore you. I will rebuild you. And those who used to plant vineyards on the hillsides, we'll plant them again. You'll plant seeds and they will grow. And
that is a beautiful passage. I love that passage. Yeah. What a gift that he gave that to
you. Well, a friend of mine, Eric Tomlinson, in fact, we were talking about this again before while you were out of the room before we started recording. Yeah. Another widowed man like myself lost his wife early, 3 daughters, 8 months, I think 7 years and 14 years. And then he was blessed to be able to remarry again, and he was really, he was given that scripture by the Lord a few days ago, and he felt led to share that with me.
It was for you.
Nice. Yeah.
Wow.
And so I've then since shared it that same day with another young guy that's also looking to get married, I think March of this coming 2019, and so it's been a blessing, the three of us, just this past week.
Yeah.
So, that's so healthy.
Yeah.
Passing on truths and promises from person to person, person to person.
Oh, yeah.
That's totally what we're called to do.
It's the leaving of a legacy. And we so often get caught thinking that it's just for our kids.
Right.
But it's for others. We're healed through the power of our testimony. So I need to share that. And like you all are sharing with me, because that, you don't understand how that helps me. because I'm wondering how to navigate now.
Right,
starting
the new
over.
Waters, right?
Yeah.
In this world so crazy that you have to choose God's way, whatever that looks like, through Scripture for you. Yeah. Because if you listen to what's out there from the world or TV or, you know, magazines, oh my goodness, it's just craziness.
It is total crazy town because there's so many standards that the world sets. None of them build on each other. None of them uplift each other.
Yeah.
It's all about you, yourself, and
fulfilling
your own.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and I think we forget that God's very interested in our lives.
Yeah.
And we discredit what he's doing because he won't tell us why. You know, we want to know the whole picture.
From beginning
to end. We want a sense of control over the thing.
Yeah.
And trust just says, God, if you lead clearly, I'll follow.
Yeah.
So it was very clear to me God wanted me to marry Pam. It wasn't clear to me how it was all going to work out.
Sure.
And it was clear to me that God called me to a life of ministry. I believe God calls us to whatever we do. So I think you're called to insurance, you're called to business, you're called to teaching.
Sure.
We were called to ministry. I just didn't know how I was going to get there.
Now that's going to scare you because... Hold that thought, because I was just called, I guess you said, called to raise 5 kids.
Yep. Yeah.
And I was the guy who didn't want any kids.
did you ever say I never want to have kids?
Always.
Because you can count on that one.
Dude, I even would not even date a woman who had kids until I met my current wife. And I didn't know she had kids until I was already done for. I was like, I can't live without her. And she had a kid. I was like,
you what?
You got a kid? Really?
Then you had kids together.
But asked, well, how many kids do you want? You want more? You don't want any more kids, do you? No. Oh, yeah, she wanted 2 more kids. Well, we wound up having 4 total together.
Right. Yeah.
That's a whole different story in itself. We're supposed to have had 1 more, but we just didn't get that far.
Yeah.
That would have been 6 kids total. That's more than enough.
Oh.
Yeah. Help our listeners understand. When you're marrying, you're married, you've ministered together, you've worked, you've written books together.
Right. Mm-hmm.
How is it?
45 of them.
45 books?
Mm-hmm.
We have.
Together?
Some she wrote, some I wrote, but
combo together. Yeah.
Okay, so how does that happen? Because just on the outside looking in, you go, well, these folks have a great marriage, I want this. I tell you, I'm going to pray that I have something copy like this. I guess we can all have it if we trust and obey God.
Yes.
So there's not like it's a secret.
Yes.
Other than that, that is the only secret.
No.
Yeah.
But how is it working with your spouse? Ministering with your spouse. You're at home together. You're out together.
It's
you're on stage together.
Right now.
You're transparent together. Mm-hmm. On radio together.
Yeah.
TV together.
Right. Bill is my best friend. And if you don't, like, that's one of the keys. People sometimes marry for, like, passion or sexuality, which is there. I mean, you can't write, like, 52 Ways to Wow Your Husband or Red Hot Wife Challenge if you don't have some of that.
Sure.
Also, but really, when it comes down to it, all the studies say that couples that hang together for a lifetime, it's because they are best friends. Mm-hmm. That is the companionship. And we've really worked hard at developing that friendship.
Well, how do you keep that? I mean, obviously I know how you got it because it was all about God first above everything else and seeking God above everything.
And doing ministry together really helps build that companionship and that friendship.
Sure.
We trust each other in ministry as partners. But we also like work out together. We like have found things that we enjoy doing recreationally.
Okay, so you get into his waffle box to get with him and you'll pay attention and follow that noodle around.
Well, I don't want your listeners to think that it's magical or that it just happens.
Yeah.
Like the more integrated you want to be,
sure.
And the more strenuous a life you want to live,
sure.
The more deliberate you have to be.
Right. But,
So what makes Pam and I work is early on we looked at each other and we said, what are you best at? What am I best at?
In waffles and spaghetti, we like teach couples how to do that too.
Okay,
like,
so
the
you
process.
And we actually delegate parts of life to each other.
Yeah, you take over all the cars, and you handle the finances. I'll handle like science fair projects, and you know. So we delegate things out, and we trust each other. The person who has the card has responsibility, and the only thing that you can do for the other one, you can't take the card away from them because you delegate it to them. You can applaud them and you can thank them, but you have to let them do it. With God, their way, their timing, and everything. Trust.
Like to give you 2 examples in our relationship. Sure. Pam is really gifted at keeping track of our social life, and she's really gifted at getting us speaking engagements. Wow. And so I just say, Pam, whatever you put on the calendar, I'm in.
Wow.
I don't argue with it.
So I should be emailing you for follow-up shows.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, and when you called me, I said, Pam, we have a request, and I need to know if we can.
Yeah, are we
can
available
we do this?
With this work? Yeah.
Because sure. She's just gifted in that area. She keeps our calendar going,
sure.
And that was both at a personal level and a professional level.
Sure.
And for me to argue with that, say, no, Pam, you should do it this way. It would be silly.
Yeah.
And Bill's like, I mean, he was a math major, so great at numbers. He's my IT guy. Like, why should I learn all the IT? I learned just enough so if he's, like, away speaking in Canada, then I can manage.
Sure.
But the big stuff, he edits our videos and he edits a podcast because he loves it and he's better at it. And so I should just trust it.
And that's a very deliberate thing that we have done.
Sure.
And people who, like couples who want to just check in with each other, they can kind of freewheel. Mm. Couples that want to build a life together have to be more and more intentional the more they want to do together. And we even did that with parenting. Like, we were very intentional with the way we raised our kids.
But I love what you just said, though. Couples that want to check in with each other can do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
But if you want to be integrated.
Yeah. True other, unity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is what the Bible talks about, two becoming one.
Yep.
I mean, that is the true essence of what that is.
That's the goal.
Yeah. You don't do that by instinct. And you don't do that spontaneously.
You don't do it haphazardly.
No.
Yeah. Like, we've had business meetings our entire married life.
Yep. Monday morning marriage meetings.
So that we talk through. We talk through calendars. We talk through issues with our kids. We talk through
finances,
financial issues. We talk
passion.
About how we're going to keep dating each other. And we do it every week. And if we miss a week, we start again next week. There's no guilt. There's no shame. There's no record keeping. We just stay on track with each other.
Now, do you mentor couples?
We do. Mostly through our events, marriage conferences. But right now we have on the LoveWise, our ministry is called LoveWise, the intersection of God's love and God's wisdom. And you can become a member, a LoveWise member. And so there's three different levels. One's a digital membership, and so you can get digital resources from us on a weekly basis that are extra than what would be on our website. Then the second, you get like whatever Pharaoh book comes out. You get all the digital plus whatever books we write, magazines that we're in. And then the third is like developer level, people that really believe in us and believe in our ministry. And then we send them a resource a month where we say, this is a great thing. It'll build into your marriage. It'll build into your family. It might be music. It might be like a workbook, a Bible study. But it's something that will bless and build their marriage or the people in their world and the relationships they care about.
Wow. So as a part, so everyone who's listening, you're going to get all those resources, opportunities to reach out to the Pharaohs on the bottom of the social media and on the web as the web is being developed and coming up. You'll see all of that there.
Thank
and
you.
Those who are going to listen to the podcast again online, it'll also be in the field. Again, we are on Blog Talk Radio. I have to be very deliberate and say the Craig Carlisle Show because I have a bad habit of giving the other call for the other radio station I'm on. And if I say that, I'm going to stay in this box here.
Craig Carlisle
on the
box.
Craig Carlisle Show.
Gosh, we've got to go. Our time is up, and I am so sad.
I just feel like Pam and I should say, hey, this is Bill and Pam Farrow. We want to invite you to listen to the Craig Carlisle Show because it will strengthen and inspire your life.
Encourage and equip your world.
I hope you've enjoyed our show today. We've had a blast doing it. Make sure you check out the Craig Carlisle Show every Saturday, 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific, on blogtalkradio.com. If you've missed an episode, check out our archives. You won't want to miss it.
Hey everyone, my name is Eric Tomlinson with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate, where we design the sale of your home around you. With our nationwide network of agents, you and your family are at the center of every decision, conversation, and step of the journey to your next home. From hello to congratulations, selling your home with the Tomlinson Group at Rancon Real Estate is designed to both learn and surpass your expectations. Call me today at 951-970-6727 so we at the Tomlinson Group can begin surpassing your expectations today. We want to work for you.
Does your business need to rank higher on the Google search engine? Do you want everything that your company touches to turn to gold? If you've answered yes to either of those questions, you need to contact Bright Media House. Generating relevant customer leads is critical to increasing sales and growing your business.
by figuring out which online sales and social media marketing channel to use and how to use them can be overwhelming, especially when you have a business to run. Digital marketing is something every business owner and marketing manager needs as a part of their strategy. For more information, go to www.brightmediahouse.com or email us at info@brightmediahouse.com.
Who you hire as your realtor matters. You need a realtor who looks out for your best interests and not their own. Marie Clark with Allison James Estates is a full-time realtor, specializing in helping first-time homebuyers in Temecula and the surrounding areas. She is also a ministry leader. Today, why don't you choose Marie Clark to buy or sell your next home? Please call 951-265-6259.
How do you avoid pitfalls that will disrupt your life? My office is very good with helping families protecting assets, building wealth, college flexible plans, tax-free retirement, and so much more. I am Jontrice Wells with World Financial Group, licensed to help million-dollar families, businesses, and everyone in between. You can contact me at 951-757-4202. Or email me at jw.nofamilyleftbehind@gmail.com. I'm about your family.